B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Haniger out towards the triangle, out towards the short wall. Mitch Haniger, goodbye, gone, home run.
Heim Bloom, sneaky bad GM.
Thank you, Heim.
Sneaky bad general manager. It all goes back to the roster. Happy Friday. Welcome into Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub and simulcast on NBC Sports Boston.
Good morning. Finish strong Friday, buddy.
That's a finish strong Friday.
I think they'd sell this. I think one of the salespeople would sell finish strong.
Okay, good. They're onto that.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Don't play dumb. Come on now.
We took that email and we beat it into the ground. Finish strong Friday email. So let's go. We're going to make it part of the show. We did.
Heim Bloom's roster is not good enough, guys. Unfortunately, the team is not going to be able to make it. They're going to be that team I thought they were. Win some, lose some. About a 500 team. The bullpen's not good enough.
It really isn't.
They don't have a margin for error. That's what we talked about when they were winning games.
Well, they're going to have Garrett Richardson.
Margin for error is slim. How many times can they bash their way to a win where they could score a bunch of runs? Because that's possible, and we've already seen at least one win in which they have done that very thing. Okay,
so cold breezy night, and that ball was not carrying last night.
What's the margin for error for the Red Sox? They cannot afford to have issues in their bullpen, and they've already sort of arrived, and it's specifically innings 7 and 8, I would say, right now for this team, that bullpen. You know, really, the eighth inning is a real problem on this team.
Yeah, and you call me like sneaky good wins, you know, going back to Monday, quick win after you lose the doubleheader. That is a gigantic bad loss. That's about as bad as it could get. That's the worst way you could lose a game. Have your guy on the verge of a no-hitter, you know, kind of lose his stuff on a nasty night. I don't hear him bitching about the weather. I don't hear him bitching about how cold and raw it was. Went out there and pitched his ass off, did Pivetta. And then you blew it. You blew it. You're 3-5 since your little nice little 9-win win streak. Nice win streak. It's kind of finding a little bit of water right now.
Yeah, 12-8 and inching closer to 500.
Oh, God. That 500, like, you thought you were, and you looked at it, and you're sitting there, okay, they were 12-6, and you're looking at it. Oh, man, it's going to take them a while until they're ever around 500 again. Like, they're going to stay above 500.
No, the Red Sox allowed one hit through all 9 innings last night of regular baseball. And ended up losing the game 7-3. How does that happen?
On 3 hits.
How does that happen? I can tell you how it happens. You have guys that aren't very good. You have Adam Ottavino, who we were just talking about yesterday, and he said, yeah, he's not that good.
Right.
Franchi Cordero. Ease up on the defense on Franchi Cordero, and then last night when the no-hitter gets broken up. Did Franchi Cordero take a great path to the baseball? No. Is that why he didn't catch it? Probably not, actually. Because I don't think his path was why he didn't get it. It was because he was so shallow in left field.
Oh, you think?
So I don't know whether to blame the player or blame the manager for that, but I'm blaming somebody.
Was there two outs at the end of the game and somebody was in scoring position? And, I don't think so, because that's the normal alignment for an outfielder.
And when Cordero caught that ball last night along the line in left field, you know, the Millikens of the world were celebrating it like crazy. And that's when you start to
like there's more than one of them.
Well, where did he start? No, there is one Milliken. We can't have him here today because we can't have nice things. But I would love to be trashing on him today for Franchi Cordero breaking up the no-hitter and for Adam Ottavino being, he's not that good. Adam Ottavino, not that good. Darwinson Hernandez, wasn't he the breakout player of the year or the best bullpen guy of the year?
Yeah.
When we read that? Wasn't Darwinson Hernandez in that tweet too? He didn't have a great night. He couldn't throw strikes, man. He couldn't find the plate.
Jesus, what's this going to be? Barnes and nobody else? That's it? That's all you're ever going to have.
Barnes has been great, but he's the ninth inning guy.
I know that.
You got to bridge your way to get to Barnes.
Garrett Richards is going to be the savior.
They couldn't do it. Garrett Whitlock has been very good when you use him every few days. Absolutely.
That's two.
But Ottavino, Hernandez, no good. Josh Taylor, no good. There's too many guys out there that are just not good enough.
Valdez has shown you something, but it's Phillips Valdez.
It doesn't move the needle.
T-Bone's trying to beat Tyler. See, here's the problem, too. Like,
what is the problem?
They haven't
diagnose
any,
it.
They haven't had any issues yet. Like, this is their fully loaded roster. And at some point, you're going to go through dips where you're going to lose a starter or two. It happens. It happens in baseball. Guys go down. Arms get sore. You know, guys get rocked. Guys have mechanical problems. You have to shut them down or have a mysterious injury that pops up just to get a guy right. We've seen that in the past with guys like Buchholz. E-Rod, you think he's going to make it through an entire season? Hell no. Somebody's going to go down in the back end. Then what are you going to do? Maybe Tanner Houck will save the day. Or Houck, whatever you say his name. Tanner Houck. Is that right? Houck. Yeah, maybe he'll save the day.
Okay, well, the issue right now is the bullpen. And the issue was...
Well, move somebody to the bullpen. What are you going to do with Garrett Richards? Is he going to go there and be long relief?
He was on full display last night, and Nick Pivetta went out and...
pitched a gem.
Was great, and the Red Sox couldn't turn his pitching performance into a win, and that's a real problem. That's a real issue for this team. When you start losing games that you should absolutely be winning,
yep.
That's not a matter of having little room for error. That's squandering and blowing games.
But what if Cordero?
You can't afford to blow because of that small margin for error and the way they want to win games this year, their record at the end of the year, they can't let games get away from them like they did last night.
Well, obviously,
can't have it happen.
The problem there was the home run, like the opening call right there. But say Cordero makes two of those catches and gets you off the hook, gets you out of a jam. Are you feeling differently today? Or do you still look at it and say, okay, this bullpen's got some issues? You know, putting runners on base, that gives you issues. That gives you anxiety late in games. Six clean innings, man. And then, runners all over the bases after that. You're like, oh, crap, this team could score 10 runs on them. Like, the floodgates opened. That's a bad loss. That's a real bad loss.
It's the worst loss of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's an early season, it's young season, but that's easily their worst loss.
That's your worst loss.
As a complete collapse last night.
Yeah.
And thank you to the Red Sox bullpen. Heim Bloom, guys. I thought this was his specialty. I thought this is what he could do.
Plug it,
He could find the values, plug guys in, and Pluggers. Build a bullpen. And
Pluggers.
Make up for the fact that he also stupidly signed Garrett Richards to a $10 million deal. I thought this was where the strength was.
That's the most money he spent.
You know, he can build a bullpen with a pile of garbage. Find the diamonds in the rough. I guess not. Yeah. Guess he's not that good.
If you're going to add guys at the deadline, too, like for the bullpen, I don't know if I trust him to do that.
Well, he's the GM, so I don't think he had much of a choice there. He's just going to do more of the same. Trust him how?
Then at that
you don't think he's good enough to find guys.
Well, then
at it right now.
At that point, you're giving up people to get something, too, though. So do you trust him to give up something decent to get something decent?
Well, here's my thought, too, last night when we were post-show. I thought about, we talked about him getting Garrett Whitlock and how he deserves credit for that. What's the risk in Garrett Whitlock to get him? Where's the risk? Where's the money? Where's any of it? That the team, you're just taking a flyer on a guy, and he worked out. He had a good camp. And he came out of spring training, and now he's doing well for the team. But where's the risk in that deal? And bringing him through the Rule 5 draft, there's no risk there. There's risk in giving a guy $10 million. There's risk in paying free agents and having them completely suck. There's risk there. There's no risk in that Whitlock move. So find me the move where he goes out and gets a guy who's a free agent and spends money, or he trades for a guy, and you feel like he really found something. Matt Barnes has been great. Matt Barnes was here. Another guy he didn't acquire.
Right.
But then we have to go back and question every time we talk about this team this year, do they even really care about winning from an organizational perspective? Or are they taking a pass on the year?
Could be a slow.
Was the 9-game winning streak just something that was fun for them and they're happy that it happened?
Happy accident.
But it's not anything that they expected to have happen this year.
They could look at it.
Because it's a bridge year. Yeah. It's we're taking a pass. It's we're continuing to build up our farm system. We want to give the impression that we give a damn about winning when we actually don't. I don't know. Because you know why? We don't hear from ownership of this team. We have no idea what they think. They haven't spoken to the media in 14 months.
Yeah.
They're too busy tied up with their soccer team.
Yeah,
so I have no idea what their motivations are right now. Are they selling the team? Are they keeping the team? Do they want to win now? Do they want to spend their money again? Do they have money problems? I don't know. They don't talk. I have no idea.
Oh, God. Could you imagine that? You get to the deadline and you get the pressure of, oh, wow, holy crap, we are actually a contender this year.
Any word for the fans, please?
Any word for the Red Sox fans, John?
John,
anything?
We spend more money, we're a contender. No.
Was the 9-game win streak a total accident that threw a lot of expectations by fans out of whack?
Might be.
And are they just taking another pass on the year? Do they actually give a damn?
Well, their team gives a damn, and that's something that I think they need to pay attention to. They got players that care and try.
Thrilled that people care that they lost last night and that they're engaged, but people do care. They care again. They're in.
Is it
good evening, Mr. Henry. We're from the BBC. Any word for the fans?
No fans here. Is it part of a slow build, and that was nothing but gravy early in the year? Long year, 162 of them.
Mr. Henry, we couldn't hear you earlier.
Still can't hear you, Mr.
I've been
Henry.
I've been on a flight for 9 hours. I haven't showered yet.
What's the plan here?
We don't brush our teeth, but I've not showered.
I don't think they're going to add anything at the deadline. I think they're going to take a total pass on that, too. They're out.
I got time yet, though. You got time. You got a lot of time till that.
Well, how else do you fix this bullpen? Just hope they get better?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mechanics, work on it, game to game. The stuff that Garrett Richard talks about.
This will happen again.
Yeah.
This will happen again. This is not the last time you're going to see an implosion like this in the bullpen and the Red Sox blow a game that they otherwise should have been in and should have won. They blew it. 617-779-0985. Let's get to your calls coming up on last night's Red Sox loss. The Red Sox bullpen. Alex Cora on Franchi Cordero saying he was in the right spot when the no-no was broken up. Cordero making some poor plays defensively late, obviously. Had a good one down in left field. We'll talk about all this. 617-779-0985. Go nowhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds from talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Clubbed into left field, and it's over the glove of Cordero again. Evan White trots home to score. Haggerty stings it to the base of the monster. He stands up at second. And with one out of the 10th inning, Sam Haggerty has put the Mariners in front 4-3.
Red Sox fell apart last night. Franchi Cordero, nice job there, kid. Nice trade there, Heim. Good trade. A text from Tyler Milliken says, don't forget they're getting Ryan Brazier back.
Oh, good. Brazzers.
Don't forget. How could we ever forget that they're going to have Ryan Brazier back?
No school days to miss.
And here's the thing with Brazier, who was great in 2018. With Brazier and a lot of bullpen guys that sort of come out of nowhere, because the total major league experience for Ryan Brazier before playing for the Red Sox in 2018 was 7 major league games 5 years prior in 2013 for the Angels. He hadn't pitched in the major leagues in 5 years. And all of a sudden he comes out of nowhere in 2018 and was really good and very helpful to that team. He hasn't been able to replicate that performance since. And that's true of a lot of bullpen arms.
Yeah, one and done.
They can have a great year, and it's their great year, and they never have another one. That happens. It's happened many times in the history of the game. And also, you question, what was going on there? And all of a sudden, 5 years later, he made it back to the bigs. What kind of training was going on there? You know? Get back to the bigs. Yeah.
How about Dave O'Brien there with the call?
All such feel-good stories when a guy gets back to the big leagues, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you get excited for the guy. You do.
Daniel Bard.
And it's shortly. Yeah.
Back in the bigs.
Nice kid.
Oh, good guy.
Dan Roach tweet. It's a Dan Roach tweet special.
Doesn't it warm your heart? Daniel Bard's back in the bigs.
Baseball.
Baseball.
How about Dave O'Brien with the second excitable call when it hit? Like, even the home run. I'm like, wait, was that the home call? We played it to start the show. That was Dave O'Brien.
That was Dave O'Brien?
That was Seattle.
No, it was Seattle. I'm like, that wasn't Dave O'Brien.
It sounds like Dave O'Brien.
No, not at all.
Oh, okay, my bad.
I know the Red Sox matter again because we get the angry baseball emails. The angry baseball, they get really upset when you talk about the Red Sox in a negative way.
Yeah, like the Celtics.
That's the only way I really know how to talk about the Red Sox, admittedly.
No, we've been pounding them for
through a lifetime of fandom.
There's another way?
Through a lifetime of fandom. That's the only way I really know how to do it, even after they've won four times. It's crazy. It's just sort of in the blood.
Yeah,
that's how you talk about them. Where's the fun in that? Where's the fun in talking about them if you don't get to rib them? Jason says, Mark, you are so predictable. Of course you are bashing the Red Sox after a bad loss to open the show, saying they are really not good. I am done with your show. He's writing us off.
You'll be back.
All you enjoy doing on 98.5 is bashing baseball every single chance you get. You can't speak intelligently about baseball.
He sure can.
When they are winning.
Yeah.
Your partner, Zolak, acts like he has ADD.
Yeah, I do.
When trying to talk baseball.
Yeah, thank you.
Go back to draft talk, cam talk, because that's all you can do intelligently. You are not very good as a radio personality. Disappointing.
But we do appreciate the amount of time invested that you actually listen to the show, for how much content you've actually took the time to sit and put into email form and actually email a person that's getting read live on air.
Jason, you're not wrong. They're way more interesting when they're bad. For like this level, though, when they're still a good team but have bad nights.
The best part.
I didn't say they're not a good team. They're going to be a 500 club. They're going to be right in that ballpark of 500.
The best part.
They're not terrible.
The best part of that run was their ability to come back in games and not be dead on the mat.
Here's the good news. They've got a lot of likable players on their roster that I enjoy watching every single night. I enjoy putting this team on every single night. It's been years since I've been in that spot. Really? Yeah. There are a lot of good guys on this team. Good guys worth your time, worth watching. I just don't know that their roster is good enough to be a truly good team and really compete for the division by the time it's all said and done. I don't think they've got that. And we've now recognized they have bullpen issues. And a lot of these guys that are depth guys, Franchy Cordero and Marwin Gonzalez and Kiki Hernandez and all these additions, they're just sort of Jags. They're not that good. I don't know that there's any fines in there.
They're not better than Benintendi.
I don't think any one of them are, any one of those players are exceeding expectations so far. None of them. So they are what they are. They're fine. They needed bodies. They needed depth. That's what they got. I don't see anything special about Heim Bloom yet. I don't see it. Maybe I'm missing it, but I don't see what's special about him so far. He's been on the job a couple of years. I'm not exactly seeing the fruits of his labor yet.
Yeah.
That's and all.
Brazzers or Brazier. He's not one of his.
Nick Brazier. Ryan Brazier. Why is Ryan Brazier the savior for the bullpen, I ask?
Because it's an arm. It's an arm that you know, and the flash that he showed.
If Heim Bloom needs to be saved by Ryan Brazier, he sucks. That's all I would have to say. If Ryan Brazier is the guy he's clinging to as his savior, oh my. You're right, so no school days to worry about.
No.
Hopefully his kid's able to go full remote. Hopefully he was one of the kids that opted out for the year.
The first day they asked, he's out. He's out for the whole year. Out.
Everybody's dying to get their kids back in. He's the one.
He's that guy. I don't want my kid to go to school.
He ain't ever going back.
And he's not doing schoolwork. He's going out in the yard and doing work.
I got him raking leaves today. It's gym class day. 617-779-0985. Jake in Boston on the Red Sox last night. Go ahead. Hold on.
After the game.
Start over.
Yeah. Hi, Jake.
You're muted. Sorry. Go ahead, Jake.
Oh, hi, boys. On Monday after the game on social media, this as Liverpool was burning, the Red Sox decided to brag about half their players getting the vaccine. They were 1-2 since. One of those players pictured was Christian Vasquez. He was hitting .308 after Monday's play. He's now hitting .258. Barnes and Sawamura were the two others that they chose to do photos of. Rumor has it was about half the team. I think Ottavino was in that group. I think I saw something from him. It was in their non-throwing arms. I don't know about Garrett Richards, but if Garrett Richards got the vaccine on Monday and then you had Tuesday start and we knew about it, totally different conversation about Garrett Richards. It was the first vaccine.
No. Garrett Richards has sucked. He doesn't get that excuse.
If that guy was filling it from the vaccine, you don't think he would have told you?
Schedule it for a different day. There's no way he would have done that
guy would have
started. They don't.
You're speculating on that. You don't even know that he did.
Oh, he would have been the first one to tell you, well, the arm's a little sore and it's not normal. I felt like I got punched in the arm, but I'm not trying to make an excuse.
Is that what we're doing this week? We're blaming this on vaccine fatigue?
Get ready.
Vaccine fatigue is what has the Red Sox losing this week.
Screwed up our lineup.
Good one, Zoe. Good one.
It's real.
Nice job. Nicely done.
Yeah.
Vaccine fatigue. Yeah, that must be why the Red Sox are losing. They got vaccines this week. Damn. Well, hey, at least we know they're not going to have a COVID outbreak on the team.
Right.
Okay, advantage Red Sox. Not going to be having to shut things down at any point. That's good.
Arms will be a little sore.
By the way, Jake had a great call yesterday that he followed up with some information
last night
that we'll get to next hour.
Okay.
He did. He got to some stuff for us.
It's very important.
Yeah, very important data and analytics on the sales of certain adult novelty items through the roof. Those sales are going to the moon. We'll get to that in a little bit.
I agree.
Let's get to what else was going on last night. Bruins. And Swayman and Celtics as well. You want to jump in, get on board here, get in the mix?
It's going to be interesting when the ratings from last night come out, because I bet the Celtics got smoked.
Really?
Yeah. And last night, all three playing.
617-779-0985. Let's get to headlines right now. McCone, take it away.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Scott Zolak,
listen to this,
has the best analysis. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He'll dish it ahead. It doesn't connect with Corrali. Walking in is Thompson. Shoots Swayman the save, and Swayman again on the rebound.
I think it's a great opportunity and great experience. Again, all I want to do is help the team win, and when my name is called, I want to give them my best. So it's really fun to be a part of this upward momentum. And again, it's a team game, and you know our team's been playing so well, and it's just fun to be a part of.
Start to play, dance with me, make me sway like a lazy ocean.
This reminds me of Honeymoon in Vegas.
Hold me close.
Nicolas Cage, James Caan, great movie. Sarah Jessica Parker.
I'm not sure anyone would call that a great movie.
It was like, you know what it is? If you like Mickey Blue Eyes, you know, with James Caan,
I think
that
was
James
an okay movie.
It's sort of like that. It's a funny romantic comedy. Notting Hill better.
Other dancers may be on the floor, dear, but my eyes will see only you.
What do you think of Swayman?
Kid's good.
Just keeps playing well. Keeps showing up.
His goals against save percentage up. Everything's going up for him. Team is 6-0 since the trade deadline. They're rolling.
.943 save percentage through six games for Jeremy Swayman.
And I think that's up from 938 prior.
Yeah. He's doing pretty well for himself. Really. Question is, what does that mean from going forward? What does that mean? This from Ty Anderson at 985thesportshub.com. He says, in just 18 days, one-time fourth-string Bruins goaltender Jeremy Swayman has evolved from a nice story to a legitimate threat. It's the kind of movement only the most dedicated Pokemon master or Sims player could hope for.
I don't know what Sims is.
And that's in non-quarantine times. Yes, you do. You know what it is.
My kids probably play it.
He says, but it's the trajectory the 22-year-old Swayman currently finds himself on through six NHL appearances and with five wins in those six starts. And his impact is not lost on Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy. Read the rest of that at 985thesportshub.com. Is he a threat to Tuukka Rask in the future? And what does this mean for the Bruins goaltender situation? Not only this year,
yeah,
not only down the stretch and into the playoffs, what does it mean beyond 21?
It's a good question.
21-22. And I think one thing is established now for sure, and that is in March we saw a report that the Bruins were interested in bringing back both Tuukka and Halak on extensions.
Yep.
Everybody should agree now that cannot happen. They cannot bring back both of these players next year.
I agree with that now. Like, it's the question right now is,
that's
it,
at a minimum.
Is it Tuukka or is it Swayman? No, it's definitely Tuukka. Tuukka's your number one goalie. If you're in the playoffs, he's your guy. You ride him. But you're right. What's been solved is it's Swayman over Halak.
So somebody's out right now.
Yeah.
In terms of Swayman is now the backup, and that means Halak cannot be the backup. Swayman has to be the guy who plays.
Okay, so this is also beneficial to what we talked about. You know, when Ty was on with TNR and I said, hey, this sort of has that Patriots feel. If Tuukka wants another contract and he only wants to play in Boston, and if his number's going to come down, which it has to, you also not only use that against him, meaning, hey, you want to be here, we love you here, we're going to keep everybody together, put the band back together for another run at it, another two-year, three-year deal. But we also got this kid that's ready to go, and that's going to help pressure you to keep that number down. Swayman being good and being that threat also helps the Bruins in a negotiating standpoint with Rask.
Which means you tell him the workload for you next year would not be as much. We want you to be the goalie halftime. The load that Swayman will carry next season would be more than what Halak has done currently.
Yeah, you've had
in setup.
It's your call. You're a hell of a career. You know, we want to help you in your final years.
But Tuukka,
until
we have a reason to do something other than start you as our number one guy come playoff time, you're still the number one guy here. You're still the leader in the goalie group. But Swayman's going to play more than Halak has played. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's going to help preserve you. But we're also not going to pay you the kind of money that you maybe are looking for.
Right.
And you've got the best of both worlds. You've got Tuukka and you've got Swayman.
Yep.
Especially if you can do that on a two-year deal for Rask. Especially on that two-year versus three-year deal. Mm-hmm. You'd feel a whole hell of a lot better about it. And maybe you do pay a little bit of a premium for that, and that you do have to give him closer to what the market value is.
Yeah, may have to give him more on a two-year deal, yeah, right?
No, per year. Per year. Not more than two years.
I know that. Per year, I'm saying, as opposed to three, to where, say it gets to three and he's not playing well and you can't trade him because nobody wants an aging goalie that's pretty much toast at that point and wants to pay him $7 million. You know? What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
What happened now?
Nothing. Well, T-Bone had something on this. He wanted to say something.
What?
No, has it already been said?
Yeah.
Oh. Never mind then.
You got anything, McCone?
I'm with you guys.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, okay, good. Confirmed. Yeah.
What number is Swayman? McCone.
What?
What number does Swayman wear?
I have no idea.
It's an easy one. Come on, McCone.
I guarantee McCone was watching the Celtics last night.
Yes, 1,000%. Yeah. That was a huge game last night.
You watched all Celtics last night?
Yes, 100%.
I need ratings. Your TV guy, get the ratings.
I'll track them down right now.
I'm efforting them now,
well, he's
too.
A basketball guy.
That's fine.
It's fine. I watch more Red Sox than anything else.
That's disgusting.
What? The Red Sox?
Yeah, the guy was on the verge of an effing no hitter.
Guy's out there dealing. Are you
kidding me? I'm even watching the Red Sox last night.
I thought you were young. I didn't realize you're like 80 years old.
No, I'm very much an 80-year-old man.
Oh, here we go.
It's fine. I don't have any issues with you saying that. Yes, I'm an old soul.
T-Bone's not old. He's watching the Sox.
I'm an old soul. Excuse me for loving baseball. Excuse me for that.
Jeez, he looks down upon you.
Holy crap. Of all the things last night, of all the entertainment you could have watched.
He's looking up Swayman's.
You could have watched.
I'm trying to find the rating.
I'm coming in.
McCone, look.
I can't see it.
Yes, you can. It's right there in front of your face on his chin.
There you go.
Your guy.
Number one in our hearts.
Yeah, the guy that they chose to replace Brady with.
Your guy.
So to go into next year, would you be okay with Swayman and Halak?
I don't know that yet. Because if Rask goes on another good run in the playoffs, no, I don't know that yet.
What if Rask gets benched in the playoffs like you always root for?
That will be my hockey take going into the last Stanley Cup final 2 years ago.
Yeah. How long before Tuukka gets benched?
That'll be one of my hot takes heading in.
Oh, very hot.
Wait till June. Wait till the beginning of June.
That will now be a recycled take.
Right. But still, it's a retake. It's a reheated take. Microwave take. You know? That would be a different case. We have time to decide that. That's the nice part of this whole thing. It's a luxury right now. Swayman is a luxury.
Well, here's why I would like Tuukka coming back is you get the best of both worlds. You get Tuukka, who is good. Whether you like him or not is a different story, but you cannot say that he's not a good goaltender.
Right. That's a different discussion.
So you get Tuukka back and you take the pressure off of Swayman and you let him play a lot and you continue to develop him. Mm.
Your pitch to Tuukka was perfect.
Workload is lightened. You don't have to do as much. That should appeal to Tuukka. And, hey, you get to play in the playoffs when we get there.
Yeah, you're a guy.
Until you lose the first game of the first series, and then everyone's calling for Swayman.
Correct.
Damn right.
But it's really... That's already happened, though. I mean, people have already called for Tuukka to get benched before.
We're kind of
there
now.
With the territory.
But it's gonna Cassidy might actually do it this year.
But it could happen this year. And if that happens... All right, let's play that scenario out. Tuukka gets benched in the playoffs for Jeremy Swayman this year. Then what? You re-sign Tuukka? That makes for an awkward offseason.
Sure does.
I don't think they'll bench him.
I mean, he's got to get smoked to bench him. He's not getting benched in like a 1-0, 2-0 loss. You know, like, you know, 3 or 4 in the first, and all of a sudden you're pulling him at... pulling him in the first period.
I'd almost rather go Swayman Vladar next year than Swayman Halak.
What's the difference?
Why Vladar over
millions of dollars?
Yeah, no, the money is better. Yeah. But don't you think there's some value in a guy who's a veteran? A guy who's been around for a while? I do. I think there's value in that. I think there's value when you're pairing a young player and an old player in that scenario. There is. For Swayman to feel like there's a, you know, steady vet who's not going to get rattled by things. He may not be great. He may not be on Tuukka's level, but he's a guy who's been around the block. 617-779-0985. Your thoughts on that? Also, a couple of things coming our way. Some advice for you, Zoe, on your tires. And we got a lovely delivery yesterday from Penelope's Cheese Shop. It'll tell you about all this coming up next.
This is exciting.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Working to keep you up to date at work.
What's the drop-off between 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6?
Okay, between 5 and 7?
What's the difference between 5 and 1?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What do you say? Girl, I can hardly wait. Get a little mud on the tires. Cause it's a good night.
They play a lot of country music at Celtics games.
Just little curious. Brad Paisley. I like it.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, someone's awake.
Welcome back, McCone.
Jesus.
This puts a little lead in
his pencil.
I would
have no clue who this was, yeah.
Pat, longtime listener, emailed in and wanted you to know this, Zoe.
Yes.
He said, when you're greasing those tires of yours,
yes,
you want to use Dura-Coating Technology tire dressing.
So this
stuff you're looking for.
I know exactly what you're talking about. This stuff, yeah, they sell it in 5 gallon drums. So you got to get the big boys. You just can't roll in and say, oh, hey, give me a quart of this stuff.
This you can't is the buy stuff, it off the shelf at AutoZone.
This is the stuff when you get your car professionally detailed and it comes out, you could, oh, well, what is that smell? Oh my, that's delightful. Well, that's the grease they put on the tires. Well, they usually do it with a sponge.
Well, Pat is a detailer.
Yeah.
And that's what he wanted you to know.
I know, Pat.
It'll extend the life of the tire. It will protect it and also give it the shine that you like so.
I love it.
And it dries. It doesn't fly onto the vehicle or pick up dirt from the road.
Right.
That's what he wanted you to know.
I would love
that
it to
there's
be
better products than what it is you're using right now.
Pat, I appreciate it. And I would love for it to be readily available. Maybe we could hook something up. You know?
I don't know that he's
like, I don't need 5 gallons of it. You know what I mean?
Maybe
I
just, someone wants to come help us detail our cars for us. So
that wasn't one of those smells from last week.
Maybe someone wants to, maybe a mobile detailer wants to make the trek to Morrissey Boulevard and help us out.
Sure. I mean, I use the Rojo right now, but I'm open to anything.
Right. Little mobile detailing.
It'd be nice.
Let's get on that.
I got dirt in my car from football last
so
night.
So just say you need Dura coating technology, bro.
It's good stuff. Put that on your cement deck too, your pool deck. That'll keep it nice and shiny.
No, that's how everyone falls, dude.
Oh, you got to keep it protected, Beetle. You'll see.
My child was injured at your home last summer. Do you remember that?
Did I have a discussion with all three? And I said, we're not going to run on the pool deck.
Running? He was walking.
Did you see?
You almost fell.
Yeah.
Deck looked good, though.
He almost fell.
Hey, yeah. You see the water.
Looks like he just, like the deck just had its nails done.
Oh, it's awful. Awesome.
It's so shiny.
Mm, it smells good.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good for the people trying to use that pool. This is from Brad. This was, it ripped because it was at the top of the package.
It's a classy letter from Brad.
It says, sup, Zo?
What's up, Brad?
It says, Beetle, quit hating on us. We are huge fans of the show.
It's awesome. 98.5
is permanently on in our kitchen at the shop. And by shop, he means Wasik's Cheese Shop.
This is in Wellesley. My brother-in-law
Brad
lives
Wasik
in Wellesley. He's been there. They go there for their charcuterie boards.
His business card says he's a cheesemonger and wine director. Central Street in Wellesley. This is the place we mentioned on the air the other day.
The Penelope.
About Penelope's Cheese Shop. And by Penelope, we mean Robin Hayward.
Okay.
Wife of Gordon Hayward. But Zoe, for some reason, has been calling her Penelope for years.
Jim Murray called her that, and I thought that was her name.
Oh, is that right? He started it?
Okay. Wasik's is awesome. They have their own Yankee chutney. You know,
he sent us a box of goods.
I mean, that's our own store brand mustards.
Where's the meat?
Off of the. Oh, hold on. I'll show you. They have a. I'll stand up so you can see it. They have a 16 inch. The size of this thing. I mean, I've never seen the Mossy this big. Jim, have you seen this big? I mean, this thing is huge.
Why don't you hold it up so the camera can see it?
Right there. Put it in there.
That's a large kielbasa.
I would watch Howard Stern Private Parks like 10 times tonight if they use this one. This thing's awesome. I mean,
fine selection of cheeses.
This, Brad.
They sent a cheddar over from someplace in Iowa. They've got it from Iowa, along with some salamis that are from Italy.
Right.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the wrapping of Wasik's cheese, the paper that they wrap the cheese in itself, is worth the trip, I think, just to get the paper. You got a little snack. Look at the brie. Have you ever seen brie like this?
Yeah.
Pimento cheese.
I don't think the brie was the selling point of the package. It was all the other cheeses.
I think it's this thing.
It's that.
you don't ever want to get hit in the head.
So you can hurt somebody with that.
Easy.
Poking eye out with that.
Brad goes on to say, we wanted to send you guys a little taste of the shop. Here in my family, we love to eat, we love to drink, and we love to have fun. That sounds like Zoe's family.
Brad, I'm going
to
send so much your way, so much business your way.
He says, but we definitely aren't snobby. We just couldn't exist in many other places besides Wellesley.
Okay.
All right. Well, now you're sort of speaking to something there.
So I did some investigating here with Brad, and Brad sent me a couple tweets. He tweeted you and us, and I went down the rabbit hole of Brad's Twitter.
Yeah.
He's one of these English Premier soccer guys. So
when
you're working in the kitchen of one of the high-end cheese shops in the state, and you're doing it in the town of Wellesley on Main Street there, and you're watching Premier League soccer, and you're a big fan of
that. At Central Street. 61 Central Street is where you need to go.
It elevates you to another snob level.
He says,
there's nothing wrong being a snob, Brad.
Keep up the good work. You are certainly the best show on the Sports Hub. Just don't tell Felger because his wife is a good customer.
Shocker.
Enjoy the cheese. She you guys likes. Ever need anything, reach out. And he says, take it easy on Penelope. She's like 25 and was very good to us with tickets. Brad Wasik and the team in Wasik's
Brad,
Cheese Shop.
Brad, I tell you what,
in
Brad,
Wellesley.
I could be very good to you. You like the Pats too, I'm sure. But maybe not. He's the other football fan.
He likes
real football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we
all right, guys. I got to go.
Oh, God. Never.
It's interesting, though.
What is?
There's the Hayward stuff. What show is on top of the Hayward stuff more than anybody?
Felger Mass.
Okay.
Who goes in there? Felger's wife.
You know, there's a connection there.
But she likes to spend money, I've heard.
What are you saying? I don't know what's interesting.
No, Mike told me that.
We were the ones that talked about the cheese shop, though.
Yeah.
The other day.
What are you saying? Maybe we know where sources are now.
Oh. See, Jim. Look at Jim. Jim hasn't been on a show in a while. Now
the cheese shop is the source?
Brad's a brown checkmark.
Mm-hmm.
Why would Felger Mass have so much information on Gordon Hayward and his goings on?
So you're saying it passes through the cheese shop, and that's
the
where
wives
picking
in
up
the cheese shop.
They're picking up tidbits at the cheese shop in Wellesley.
I want to try this pimento cheese.
Wouldn't it be awesome if your wife came home and said, "Guess who I ran into? Guess what nugget I have about a local sports team?"
That's a good.
You would
point,
be all over that the next day on
that's
the
a
air.
Good point, Wells.
Huh?
Yeah.
Picking up cheese cubes, huh?
Well, that cheddar from someplace, Milton, Iowa, I think it said,
I mean,
the package. Wow.
Some of these stores, there used to be one in Foxborough, and it's delightful. You walk in, the big cheese wheels are on just big wood platters, and you can actually get little shavings of them and taste them.
A little shaved Parmesan?
I like my cheese, a little more nut bite to it.
Dude, you know,
yeah.
Real refined palate you have over there, so.
It smells like a baby's diaper, but, oh, it tastes well. It tastes great.
Pat emailed back, by the way, said you can get an 8-ounce bottle for $30 and it will last a while. Mm. Yep. There you go.
Nice.
So you can get it in an 8-ounce bottle and you can buy that stuff for your tires. You don't need to buy a 30-gallon drum of it.
Okay. 8 ounces isn't enough.
Imagine that truck showing up at Zoe's house.
You know what? 8 ounces with a 30-gallon
drum.
The size of this.
Yes.
I kind of think I want the big bottle, the big gallon.
You don't need that much. He said the 8 ounces will put two or three coats on your tires, and you won't need to touch them for months.
Oh, no, I do it every time I wash my car.
Well, no, see, that you're missing the point here. This is not the type of thing you need to put on every time you wash your car.
Okay.
Because it's a Durabond technology.
It's got Dura right in the name.
Dura, right, okay. Durable.
So it's like you get painted, or get your house painted, or do a rhino shield. Yeah. Gotcha.
Headlines with McCone. We're right back in 90 seconds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.